For a literary character, Sherlock Holmes spends a great deal of time on the screen, large and small. Since the beginning of film, he's been in over 250 movies and TV shows and has been portrayed by 75 different actors. The fictional detective is a keen observer. He's a shrewd skeptic, a loner, a drug user, and somewhat antisocial, not terribly cuddly. He's also one of the most popular characters in fiction, thriving in the hearts and minds of fans for over 100 years. Jan Susina, professor of Victorian literature at Illinois State University, says part of the enduring popularity of Sherlock Holmes is that he seems so real to us, which makes sense, actually, since he was inspired by a real person, a professor of the man who created Sherlock Holmes.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle studied medicine in Edinburgh, and there was Joseph Bell. And in fact, Conan Doyle wrote a letter and said, thanking his professor, saying, I really owe this character to him.
Well, what was it about this Dr. Bell that really stood out and helped shape Sherlock Holmes?
Dr. Bell was very meticulous and was able to make big decisions based on small details. And that's something kind of deductive reasoning, which is the great skill of Sherlock Holmes.
What is the appeal of Sherlock Holmes that he endures for over 100 years? We've lost touch with, I mean, we don't talk about Little Lord Fauntleroy anymore.
And that's a good thing.
We've lost touch with some 19th and early 20th century characters, but Sherlock is as strong as ever.
Oh, even stronger, I think, thanks to the BBC's Sherlock and Elementary, that we're having a revival of Sherlock Holmes. I think because he is the ultimate thinking detective. He's a fascinating, flawed character. He's got his personal demons, but when you need a problem solved, he can solve it.
What's really popular in a lot of fiction these days, in a lot of film, is the anti-hero. Is he essentially the original anti-hero, do you think, in a way?
I don't know if he's the original, but he certainly is a wonderful example. He's very bohemian. I think we know that he's kind of melancholy and plays his violin. He's a very solitary loner figure and, you know, has a cocaine problem.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The fact that he has a drug problem doesn't seem to really bother us at all.
You know, it's kind of interesting because in Elementary, the Holmes character is a recovering addict.
That's on CBS.
Yeah, that's on CBS. In the time period in which Conan Doyle wrote Holmes, cocaine was legal in England, mm-hmm. and also Dr. Watson calls it Holmes's only vice.
Well, if it's his only vice, certainly his only vice wasn't women. And that's another thing that's very interesting about him, was the fact that you just, except for the woman.
Yes, Irene Adler.
Yeah.
Scandal in Bohemia.
No woman could ever turn his head, which is very unusual for a male character.
Yes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle said that Sherlock Holmes was an automaton, a calculator, and that he really did not understand love. And so he really is a solitary character. And Irene Adler attracts him because she is smarter than he is.
Do you think that if Sherlock were real, he would actually be considered somewhat autistic?
Yeah, I think
really?
either bipolar or autistic. And I think it's fair to say that in the contemporary versions of Sherlock Holmes, Robert Downey Jr., he's seen eccentric, if not odd. And yeah, that he's got some demons.
So there have been many, many versions of Sherlock on the screen, big and little, you know, from Jeremy Brett to Basil Rathbone, as you said, Robert Downey Jr. How we view Sherlock, how is that ever changing? Do we basically change Holmes with the times, or does Holmes ever stay Holmes?
You know, I think Holmes is such a popular character that we want to update and make him contemporary. In fact, if you look at the films, Sherlock Holmes has become more handsome. Benedict Cumberbatch is pretty good looking. But one of the key changes, and one of the people who's most important in creating the Holmes we know, is William Gillette.
Now, he was a very popular stage actor in the early part of the 20th century, and he played Sherlock on stage, and he made some changes to the character that actually go into the film that we'll be showing at the Normal Theater. This was a recently rediscovered silent film from 1916, I think.
1916.
This is one of the great pots of gold of lost films. What is it that William Gillette did with that character of Sherlock Holmes?
Yes. Well, one thing, Variety says this is the holy grail of lost films. It's very exciting. It was discovered last year, a print in Paris. Gillette was an actor, a playwright, and producer. And Arthur Conan Doyle had kind of killed off Sherlock Holmes, but he needed some money to build a house, and so he wrote a play. He sent it to a producer. The producer said, the play stinks, but I know the guy who should play Sherlock Holmes, William Gillette. William Gillette, dressed up as Sherlock Holmes, went to visit Doyle, and they became close friends. Gillette rewrote the play, and he acted Sherlock Holmes on the stage over 1,300 times.
Wow.
He was Sherlock Holmes at the beginning of the 20th century. And the things that he added to Sherlock Holmes that is part of that character is the deerstalker hat, the curved pipe, and in fact, I think the reason he had the curved pipe is so he could speak his lines as well as smoke. He emphasized the microscope. He emphasized the looking glass and, you know, the kind of elegant dressing gown.
So he really focused these canon elements of Holmes.
Yes.
And really distilled things down.
Yes. And probably the most important thing is that Gillette came up with the phrase, elementary, my dear Watson. It was not actually spoken in the play, but the elementary, my dear fellow, and he always was calling Watson. And then after his performances, they kind of combined it. So many of the things that we think of as Sherlock Holmes really come from William Gillette. And that's why this film is so, so important. And it's the only film that he made.
When Arthur Conan Doyle wrote Sherlock Holmes, he used investigative techniques that Holmes would use that actually weren't being used in real police work, in detective work. So was Holmes influential on actual detective work? Did detectives at Scotland Yard read this and think, ooh, we should do that?
Well, in some ways, things were happening simultaneously. When Sherlock Holmes stories were being written, forensic science was just being introduced. Things like fingerprinting, ballistics, testing of blood. And I think Conan Doyle really popularized it, and I'm sure lots of people who went into police work went because they read Sherlock Holmes.
What other elements of Sherlock Holmes? Of course, we have elementary, my dear Watson, but what other elements of Sherlock Holmes have entered the popular lexicon?
It seems to me that deductive reasoning, where you solve a crime not necessarily by strength, but by using your smarts. And one of the things that we think about Sherlock Holmes, he goes back to his laboratory. He's a scientist. And so it's this contemporary applying of science to solve crimes. And I think that's something that we now think of as normal. In fact, one of the things over and over again in the Sherlock Holmes stories, Holmes always complains that the crime scene has been contaminated by the police. And that's something I think we all understand now.
Jan, who is your favorite Sherlock Holmes? Is he on the screen or is he on the page?
You know, I'm a print guy, and I think Sir Arthur Conan Doyle has created this fantastic hero.
Do you have a favorite one on screen? Chris, you haven't seen Gillette yet.
I haven't seen Gillette, and I am so excited to see this because everything I know about Sherlock Holmes, if it doesn't come for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, comes through Gillette.
That's Jan Susina, professor of Victorian literature at Illinois State University. The William Gillette film, Sherlock Holmes, runs at the Normal Theater tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. I'm Laura Kennedy.